Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
The reading is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here again, and just want to thank you for your welcome. It feels familiar territory for many reasons, not least for a church we went to for 23 years is identical to this one inside. Gallery, square, even has its organs still in its same place. So there's a lot of familiarity, but the most familiar thing is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's great to be here. Sometimes when you're asked to bring a word to the church, they're following a series. And that can be quite challenging in thinking, okay, so what's gone before and what do I need to bring? This time they said, you've got free rein. And that gives you a different problem. Okay, so what is it, Lord, you're saying? Well, I'm aware, fortunately, my friend Ben was preaching last week and that his focus was about not losing our sight on that initial faith and being justified because of what Christ had done and remembering to experience the joy that comes at the spirit that can spur us on when we face those tough times. And I just looked at three of the verses, and I want to remind us of those three verses because it's so appropriate as we look at the table here this morning. Romans 5 verse 8 said, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So now we've been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies when we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more can we be reconciled? Shall we be saved to his life? Now, I've just done something very silly. I've actually left the control for the slides in my right-hand pocket. So can you put my slides up for me? Thanks very much. Okay. One of the big problems that I can see, and it's really interesting to hear that prayer by Elijah this morning about, you know, the mental struggles, is people finding their identity. What am I here for? What's my purpose? And I want to go back to some of the things that Ben said, but very much talk about our identity. And I want to pick on that theme, because before I do, this world that we live in today is putting phenomenal pressures on our identity and what we think is important. And with a bit of luck, we've just looked at what Ben said. What's important is God's sacrifice to justify the, you know, us to be in his presence, to reconcile us to him. But we live in a changing society. I'm not giving away my age, but things over the last 70 years have changed a bit. I remember a day when there weren't things like credit cards. You had to get your money before you bought things. But now you just seem able, okay, if I want something, I don't have to wait, I can have it. And advertising, I mean, yes, ITV did come on the scene Channel 3, sorry, came on the scene when I was young. And yes, adverts started coming. But you look at the progressive way things, and aggressive way things are advertised. You need this. Social media, and we look now at social influencers that have a phenomenal impact, particularly on the young. And there's lots of talk about how that can be regulated or everything else, but there's so much pressure to have the right thing. Don't get me wrong, I still get jealous when I see somebody driving around a brand new Lexus or Jaguar, but the point is, that's not my identity. That's not necessarily who I am. But I was shocked to find out the other day when I started to look at some stats. 6.4 billion is spent on cosmetics in the UK alone. And that's estimated to be 103 billion in the next 5 years worldwide. We all need to look right and look good, don't we? 3.6 billion was spent on cosmetic enhancements, including 27,400 surgeries. To put into context, the entire church giving, according to the Charity Commission, was just 1 billion. Where's our society's reference? What are they trying to do? The importance of looking good. And don't get me wrong, at 70 years old, I have to kind of do a little bit to make myself a bit of an effort. But having said that, looking good and presenting the right image or having the right products seems for many to become preeminent. And yet, believe it or not, despite how progressive our society is, more and more people struggle with their mental health and their image and who they are. In fact, it was interesting, if any of you have seen the stats, you probably can't read that, you might not be able to read it. But believe it or not, church attendance has grown by 50% in the last 6 years. The biggest increase is in young men, and has increased from 4% to 21%. And many of the underlying reasons that were given, I need to find meaning in life. I need to find who I am. That's great, but isn't it shocking in a way? So who am I? And what does God say? I guess, question for you. If a stranger walked in or a visitor walked in this morning and asked you, who's that strange guy at the front? What would you say? Oh, he's a visiting speaker. Oh, he's from Willsboro Baptist Church. That's not strictly true. We're supporting Braeburn. He's a street pastor. He's married to Lynn. He works sometimes for this crazy organization called MAF. Well, yeah, but that's true. But is that who I am? Is that who God says? You see, the Bible has said so much more, and I really thank you for the reading that you did for us. It was first class, and it was great. But I want to pick out a few of those verses for you. In him we have redemption through his blood. Did you realize you're special? You've been chosen to be blameless. You've been chosen to be holy. Before the creation of the world, you were chosen. Let's pick up on that one. Have I gone too many? Yeah. You were chosen for him to be blameless before the entire world, before creation. It can be very easy to think about and accepting Jesus came and was crucified for man's sin, to take away that sin. But if we take scripture literally, it means the message today is that Jesus died for me, for you. It's personal. You matter to God. You're chosen. Before time itself, you were chosen to be blameless and holy. But that meant God had to pay a price because of our sin. And that's represented here on this table, which is just so appropriate. You know, David, so many of you will know that psalm in David, that where he talks about Psalm 139, "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are well known. My frame was not hidden from you." Even before we knew him, he knew us. Isn't that incredible? He wanted us. He wanted you. So, he's blessed us with every, you know, what does that mean? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I want you to keep that in mind as we go through, because it does include being chosen. It does include being redeemed, forgiven, walking free from guilt. You know, so many young people these days, I'll tell you a story of one young lady who went into self-harm. And after many years, asked why. She said, "Well, my parents never would discipline me and tell me off when I was wrong. They loved me. So I had to punish myself." Isn't that incredible? You know, parents that want to show love and everything else, but the child felt their guilt. We are free from that guilt and free from fear. But what else are we blessed with? We are blessed with being adopted. You know, I love it. In Greek, the word for adopted means you are son and heir. It's not like you're, okay, in legal arrangement. You are literally in the family. It's a legal term in under Roman culture about parenthood. Father, son, father, daughter. It's that closeness of relationship. It's not just a legal relationship. And I want to just take that on a step further, because it talks about you were sealed. When you believe, you are marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, has anybody been to Salisbury Cathedral? Yeah, a few of you have. What have they got in Salisbury Cathedral that's in a glass cage? Anybody remember? The Magna Carta. At the bottom of that document is a big red wax seal with the imprint of the king's ring. It establishes the authority of the king on that document. It puts into legal context that this is what I'm saying. Yes, the Magna Carta was about limiting the king's power, but this is actually not limiting the king's power. That seal is put on us as a permanent reminder that this is the king's authority stands over us. Nothing else can break it. There's a second reason a seal was often used. Often they used to use it to seal a letter, to seal a document, so that that document could not be opened other than by an appropriate person that would know them, break the seal. You have that king's seal on you. Nobody else can touch it except the person it was designed for, and that's him. Isn't that incredible? You know, we often read scripture, I think, and we think, you know, Paul's talking about you were sealed, you were this. And you think about him talking about it to, obviously, the Ephesians. But that scripture is for us today. It's not just the past, it's present. And it reminds us in Ephesians, all of heaven. Let's just have a quick flip through some of those things again. And I just want you to dwell on some of these things. In God's eyes, you're chosen. You're holy. You're blameless. You're redeemed. You're blessed. You're adopted and heirs. You're marked with the king's seal. And you're not alone. I know Elijah, this is what he said, it's not about how we feel sometimes. But I guess that my question to you is, claim this, and how do you feel? You are precious. And I guess my key message to you today is, there's lots in here. We could spend ages on it, each one of those. But take it for yourself, because you are blessed and have a guaranteed inheritance. And one of the things I do from time to time, you should never mess around with scripture because that's God's word. But sometimes I like to do things a bit differently. And I'm going to ask you to do something a bit differently as we claim this for ourselves. We're going to read that scripture that we heard earlier again. Now, when we read it, or when it was read in the third person. I'm going to ask you to read it in the first person. So, read it with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed me in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. For he chose me in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined me for adoption to sonship, daughtership, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given me. In him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on me. With all wisdom and understanding, he has made known to me the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him I'm also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that I, as one who put his hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And I am also included in Christ when I heard the message of truth, the gospel of my salvation, when I believed, was marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. I would encourage you, when you're home, get your Bible, read it again, and put it in the first person and claim it. That's God's message to us. Yes, it was Paul talking to the Ephesians to remind them and include them. And I apologize a little for reframing that passage. But I really want people to own it, to take it, to know how precious you are to Jesus Christ. So we're very much those who God says we are. Take comfort from that. Take joy from that. Be thankful. Be confident that the Lord has your interests at heart. Yes, it's global. Yes, it's universal. under Christ. But yes, it's personal. I hope reflecting on the identity we have helps build confidence and joy to face the world, even in those times when it's tough. One final thing, and quite difficult to think through over the coming week. Have you ever been in two places at the same time? Not possible, you tell me. I had the fortunate opportunity to be at Keswick this year. And one of the passages that the guy spoke on was from 2 Ephesians, verses 4 and 6. And it really blew my mind when he was talking about it. Because Paul writes this: "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ," "even when we were dead in our transgressions, it's by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Okay. But it doesn't say, "will seat us." He said, "he has seated us with him in the heavenly realms." Already, you are known in heaven and have a seat in heaven. You are seated there. You're there already. That's kind of a bit mind-blowing. I never quite thought about being in two places at the same time. It's not that there's, you know, we are there, seated with Christ. He is in us. We are in him. And there is a unity in that. It's a bit mind-blowing, really. But why did that all happen? Because of God's grace, his price, to bring us into that relationship with him. And if you're a visitor here, know, even if you know Christ, you are entitled to that same blessing. And we will share with you in a minute or two the communion. Do notice, though, it's so precious to know the love of a parent. Many may not, but this is a promise that will never fail. We'll always be there. So what about our identity? Our identity is not who others say we are. It isn't done, unfortunately, by the makeup artists of the world, who now create artificial images about how you should look. Our image is in Christ. Our value is in Christ. Our purpose is Christ and Christ's kingdom. Take courage. He knows you, and you know him. And let's be thankful.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.